It is my privilege today to be able to introduce to you to Pastor David. He is the leader of the Rest Place Ministries that meets here at Emerson Heights on Saturday evenings. And I'm not going to tell you a lot about David. I mean, we've had a good opportunity to get together in the last week or so and be able to get to know each other better. But David is going to come today, and he's going to proclaim to us a message about the resurrection life. So, David, come on up.
Thank you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So, sitting there, a song just in my heart. I mean, if you know that if the Lord put a song in your heart, it's good to sing it, right? For death could not hold him captive, even in the grave. Jesus is Lord, even in the grave. Jesus is Lord. For death could not hold him captive, even in the grave. Jesus is Lord, even in the grave. Jesus is Lord. Father, we just want to thank you. I want you to give him your heartbeat this morning. Just reflect about his love for you. Just give him your heartbeat. When we read the book of Psalm, we see a man who knows how to press into intimacy with God in the name of David. When he's afraid, he comes with his heartbeat to God and says, Lord, I'm afraid. When he's happy, comes, Lord, I'm joyful. I am just enjoying nature. I'm just enjoying your goodness. He used things around him to eulogize God and to worship him and to honor him. You know, we've had a good time of worship. I just wanted to take this few seconds and just give him your own heart, your own worship. Just say something to him. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I'm here today because of you. I'm alive today because of you. Despite all I've been through, I am in church today. Just worship him. Just give him your heartbeat. You want to hear your heartbeat. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
I'm standing in a very big shoe. Please, you need to help me. So your response is going to encourage me to preach and to bring the message to you this morning. I want to thank Reverend Kane and the Deaconry for giving me the opportunity to bring you God's word this morning. You know, when I saw the kids this morning and how they were running around in church, they were hearing the worship, they were hearing Jesus, you know, my mind just reflect back. As a little boy, the first word I heard was, Allahu Akbar. Have you heard that kind of word before? I was born into a Muslim home. My dad was an imam. So the first word I heard about God was Allah, not Jesus. So it was so beautiful to see my kids and all the children hear Jesus. I said, God, I wish I had this opportunity to be born in church. So I grew up, all I knew was Muhammad. My dad was a Quran instructor. So it's beautiful, you know, to appreciate what we have. Maybe you're here today, you've been a Christian all your life, you're wondering, maybe because of the things you've been through and the things you're going through, you're asking the question, is this Jesus real? My goodness. I'm here to tell you he's real. I found him at last. The Bible says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Oh, I don't want to, you know, the way I want to share the way I love this Jesus, I'm going to tear this place upside down. I will. If you come to Saturday meeting, you will see how I do that there. I love him, you know, because I've tasted religion. It doesn't taste good. Intimacy with Jesus. Oh, words cannot describe it. So today I want to share with us the resurrection life. Praise God. Can I have the, I would like to be in control. Thank you. Praise God. Yeah. It's good to be in control, right? Praise God. So today I want to bring a picture, because sometimes when we say, he's risen, and we say, he's risen indeed. You know, sometimes it's so beautiful, but how we are psychological being, right? We are psychological being. We have real life problems, real life challenges, real life issues. How does that, how can I relate that? Praise God. How can I bridge the gap between theology and psychology? How can Jesus be in my daily experience? How does that texture look like? Can you touch yourself? Yeah. Can you feel yourself? How can I relate with this reality like the way I touch myself? Praise God. Because Jesus is real. Oh, he's real. Just to add, you know, we're talking about my family. My dad is now a Christian. My mom is now a Christian. We are all Christians now. Praise God. Can you clap for Jesus for that? One day, I met my dad in the living room. My first year at the college. I just came out of the room. I was going to the living room. I went to my dad crying. My dad was shedding tears. And he was holding a picture. I thought it was a picture of his mom. I thought it was a picture of his dad, because I never met my grandfather. He died before I was born. So as I look closer, he was holding his own picture. His own picture. And he was shedding tears. I said, Daddy, why are you crying? What's the problem? And he couldn't speak. He was sobbing. And when he was able to wipe his tears, and he said to me, this is the picture when I was an imam, when I was a Muslim. I said, but why are you crying? He said, I wish I found him, Eli. He said, Jesus, coming to know God, Jesus, is the best thing that's ever happened to him. And he could see the difference. Actually, there was physical difference, praise God. I could look at that picture, and I could look at him now. Things have changed. The transformation that have taken place in his life, the habit they had before, smoking snuff, gambling, doing all kind of things, even, you know. So all those things gone, and he could see his life now. Praise God. So that kind of reality is what I want to share with us today. How do we bridge this, it is risen, this life that Christ has given to us through his resurrection? Jesus said to her in John chapter 11, verse 25 to 26. Now, to her, that means Jesus said to Martha. This is the story. How many of you know the story of Lazarus? Praise God. Do you know it was this story that landed Jesus in trouble? Praise God. This was the story before he went to the cross. This was the spectacular miracle he did before going to the cross. So this was the issue that landed him in trouble. So he came and did this spectacular miracle. Before that, he said to Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, the one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Wow. Can you reflect on that? Even though they die. In this present world, death is a very terrible thing. Am I right? How many of you have lost? I lost my sister, my elder sister, 2014. It really broke, shattered my life. She was the one that raised me, trained me. We were so poor. My dad couldn't afford. We were 8 children, 4 boys, 4 girls. So she was the eldest. She raised me in school. She died before I could say thank you. You know? And it's a painful thing, right? Death is painful. Death sometimes shatters us. We feel that it's the end of life. So that's the picture we have about death. But now Jesus is coming to us and telling us that's the beginning. Do you believe that? Like, what we've known all our life, that when death happens, it's the end. But Jesus is coming here saying to Martha, I know your heart is heavy. I know you are worried. I know you're shattered. But I've come with good news that this is just the beginning. Praise God. He said, whoever believes in me, though they die, will live. Will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Praise God. He said, we never die. Wow, that's a big statement there. We know the story that he raised Lazarus back. I don't want to go into that. We can spend the whole day here. And I'm looking forward to the day that we'll do Bible study from morning to evening. We're just eating the word. Because we're going to look at that. Really, how to build consciousness around this life that we have received. He said, we never die. So if you look at what Jesus was trying to reveal to us here, he's not talking about cessation of life. Praise God. Because he raised Lazarus from the dead. Do you know Lazarus also died again? Praise God. So what Jesus was trying to reveal to us with this, to us in this scripture, is beyond the cessation of life. It's beyond this breath. This life that he has come to give us. That life transcends beyond this space and time. Praise God. He said, I am that life. That's why the Bible said, in him is life. And that life is the light at which each and every one of us are supposed to chart our life. Praise God. So, death has become the beginning of life, not the end of life for the believer. Tell your neighbor, please, help me. Because when I preach, I like to engage the crowd. Praise God. Tell your neighbor. Help me tell your neighbor. Death is not the end of life. It's the beginning. Now, why is this important? Why is this revelation important? Because Jesus proved it with the story of Lazarus. Praise God. Now, he rose Lazarus back to life. Wow. That was beautiful. That was a spectacular miracle. To tell us that the life he has given to us through his resurrection, that life can, there are resources in within that life that we can use to superimpose our situation here on earth and still get result. Praise God. And we will get result here on earth, but that result is not actually the goal. Right? Praise God. The goal is that when we die, we're still going to live with him forever. Praise God. That is why what he was trying to tell Martha here, there was that I know I'm going to bring this guy back to life, but I want to bring you into a new mindset, a new consciousness. And this is how I want you to live your life. That when dead things happen to you, you can check that life within you and call on God and pray to God, and God can come and change the situation. But beyond that, you also have that life that is called eternal life. Praise God. Which is the life to live after you live this life. So you have eternal life inside of you. Praise God. So the resurrection life is called eternal life. Romans chapter 8 tells us. Romans chapter 8 verse 2. It said the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Praise God. You see, you know, when Jesus was on earth, Jesus was doing some amazing things. Praise God. At the age of 12, how many time do I have? Okay, so. When you invite a person like me to preach, oh my God, you can stay all day. Praise God. But I'm going to try to keep the time. So Jesus has given us eternal life. Praise God. And that life is called the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It was the same life that Jesus was using while he was on earth in his ministry. Praise God. How many of you have gone through challenges in your life that you were so confused? You didn't know what to do. You were wondering, how will I come out of this? Praise God. It could be anything. It could be health issue. But I could imagine, you know, Jesus was 100% man. The Bible says, there was one part of the scripture I read. He said they brought all that were sick to Jesus. I thought Jesus would put his hand on his head and say, hey, how do I do this? Praise God. He was not perturbed. He was not worried. He was not wondering, what will he do with all these sick people? The Bible says he healed them all. How did you think he did that? Because of that life he was conscious that he carried. Praise God. I give you an example again. Jesus preached for 3 days. Preached huge crowd. He was preaching. And after a while, he realized they were hungry. And he told Philip, he said, give them food to eat. Philip said, Jesus, can't you see the crowd? Praise God. He said, can't you see the crowd? How do we feed these people? It will take 10 years of wages to feed these people. Jesus said, feed them. And then a boy brought his five loaves and two fish to Jesus. What would five loaves and two fish? Just imagine, not the Bible says there's 5,000 men, excluding women and children. If I bring five loaves and two fish, can he feed all of us here? He can't. Praise God. But because Jesus had that life in him, he was not worried. Praise God. He was not worried. He said, give me. He took the five loaves of bread and two fish. I thought Jesus would start crying to God. Oh God, you see, you called me to ministry. You didn't tell me you're going to embarrass me like this. You didn't tell me that I would be faced with this kind of problem. But that was not what Jesus did. What did he do? He gave thanks. The miracle that happened that day was not done in the hand of Jesus. Do you know that? It wasn't Jesus' hand that did the miracle. It was the hand of the disciple. Because if I was Philip, Jesus gave me the five loaves and two fish, I would have told Jesus, do you want to embarrass me? What do you want me to do with it? The Bible says, as he gave thanks, he gave it to them, and they went. Actually, the faith work that bettered that miracle was not in the hand of Jesus, was in the hand of the disciple. The disciples took that by faith. They went and what? Start distributing. As they gave the first, the thing began to multiply. That is the texture of the life I've come to share with you today. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 24, "So verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto what? Eternal." So what Jesus was introducing Martha to was another kind of life. But for us to enter that kind of life, something have to die. Praise God. I remember, what did we say? Death for us is the what? Beginning of? Tell your neighbor, death. Death is the beginning of life. So for us to enter and manifest this eternal life, the resurrection life, Jesus showed us the example. Praise God. He had to die. The first thing he did was to take your sin and my sin and pay the price on the cross, and was buried for 3 days. That's why we're celebrating Easter, right? He was dead. The grave could not hold him. And he was buried for 3 days. And on the third day, he rose again. So what the scripture is showing us here, he's showing us a mystery on how to enter into the economy of eternal life, because the lowest state in life is the life of sin. Praise God. That's the first deliverance God needed to deliver mankind from. He needed to deal with sin, because the reason why we can't manifest the resurrection life is because we are sinners. Praise God. And after he has dealt with sin, our job is to now receive his forgiveness. Praise God. And then, when he didn't stop there, praise God. If God only dealt with sin, I don't do something about how to live the God life, there would have been a problem. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "God made him who knew no sin to become sin, so that you and I will become what? The righteousness of God." Praise God. Now, when we look at that word righteousness, oh, that's a problem of teachers. You know, praise God. I like to keep the time. Just tell me when my time is up. Okay, yeah. Yeah, you do me like this. Thank you. Thank you. You know, so he gave us a nature called righteousness. When we come into the kingdom of God, we accept Jesus' forgiveness of sin, and we accept the life, eternal life, God gave us a new nature. Praise God. That nature is called righteousness. And when we estray into the word righteousness, sometimes we think righteousness is just doing right. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, righteousness, doing right. There's an aspect, okay. There's an aspect of righteousness that empowers us to do right. But first, we have to have a better understanding between righteousness, sanctification, and holiness. Praise God. Righteousness, sanctification, and holiness. Now, the first thing God had to do, because he's holy, praise God. God cannot behold sin. That's why he killed Jesus. Praise God. Because he couldn't look at our sin. A price needed to be paid. So as he took upon himself our sin, oh, our sin was so heavy. Do you know our sin was so heavy? Jesus cried on the cross. It was so heavy. Because when he took our sin, God, for the first time, the Godhead, the Father, turned his face away. Turned! He couldn't behold. And Jesus felt it because the weight was too much. Our sins was too heavy. He said, "Hello, hello, lama sabachthani? God, why have you forsaken me?" Because that's what happened. So that sin he took upon himself, he now gave us the nature. So righteousness is a gift. Tell your neighbor, righteousness is a gift. It came, say it came, as a gift, as part of the package of the resurrected life. So it's a gift. So why are some Christians feeling they are more righteous than the other? Why are you thinking you're more righteous than the other? If I give you a gift, did you work for it? Praise God. So that's the first state that will help us. So you have to understand that righteousness is a gift. So if it's a gift, you're supposed to what? Grow that life. Praise God. So it's a gift. So righteousness is a gift. Now, what is sanctification? Sanctification is turning away from the word. That's where baptism, we do that in baptism, right? Baptism, he said, "I used to belong to you, now I belong to Jesus." Praise God. We're going to have baptism today. One of our sisters is getting baptized. So she's going to tell everyone. All the people maybe that she used to gossip with, all the people she used to, praise God. I don't know, I don't say you gossip, I'm just joking. You know, all the things people that used to, I'm now for Jesus. That's what sanctification. Turning away from the word. But that does not change us. It is the righteous nature we have received. That's where our change begins from. Now, learning about that righteous nature, because the nature of sin we had before was natural, was default. I mean, if you went to a class of sin 101, how to sin. I mean, if you went to that class, nobody, it's natural. So the new gifts of righteousness we have received, we need to begin to learn how to live that righteousness. So living out that righteousness is now what we call holiness. Turning to God. So we have righteousness, a nature, a free gift we receive via salvation, sanctification, turning away from the word, while holiness, living that life in expression, turning to God. That means God's word now detect your life, not your senses anymore. So this is the lowest state in life, because some people think the lowest state in life is poverty. No, it's sin, because sin is the greatest poverty. The revelation of the resurrection life, resurrection gives us ability to live the God life. I know we used to do discussions here. Because of time, I wanted us to discuss this, because we don't have time. How do we live the God life? Is that even possible? Praise God. Because sometimes when you stray into your struggles and you look at the word of God, you look like this life is not possible. I don't know about it. Maybe you have this, you are so holy. I struggled when I gave my life to Christ. Praise God. I was just struggling. Each time I want to please God, you know, I just keep falling. I keep falling. I said, "God, what's happening? I want to please you, but So, yes, it is possible. Do you know why it's now possible to live the God life? That kind of life Jesus was living on earth. You know, he lived on earth without sin. The reason why it's now possible is because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is why Jesus told the disciples before he left, he said to them, "I know you've had 3 years of master's / PhD degree in theology with me, but don't jump out yet. Wait. Don't jump out with your lecture note. Because what the kingdom have brought that you need to continue, the work I've called you to work, the God life I have lived, I have patterned before you, to live that God life, you must wait for the Holy Spirit." Tell your neighbor, the Holy Spirit. So if we neglect intimacy with the Holy Spirit, we will struggle, because the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us through the revelation of God's word to be able to culture and build consciousness around that life. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 says, "For it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to walk that is, and to walk you," sorry, Amplified confused me sometimes because of the bracket. Anyway, Philippians 2 verse 13 says, "It is the Spirit of God, it is the God that worketh in you both to will and to do unto his good pleasure." Praise God. So the first thing to live this resurrection life through your vessel. Because Paul began to beg some Christians in Romans chapter 12. He said, "I beseech you, therefore, I beg you, by the mercy of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable worship to God." So Paul is saying that it's possible to live this God life through our flesh. It's possible to live this God life truly separated from this world. The Bible says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate," says the Lord. So how do we do this? There are four protocols I want to share with us quickly. The first one is consciousness. Tell your neighbor, consciousness. Consciousness. Praise God. Is that word too big? It's not a encyclopedia. It's consciousness. Praise God. So consciousness. The second one is the word of God. The other one is prayer. And the last one is love. The first thing that must happen to us when we receive this eternal life is to begin to build consciousness. Because we are conscious that we are a sinner. Praise God. So being conscious that you are a sinner is what you will do. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what Jesus is trying to say, there must be a mind shift. You must believe the quality of what I've given to you and begin to learn that word. It's a word of his own. Praise God. It's different. That's why the Bible says you were saved by grace through faith, not of works, but is the gift of God. So that gift of righteousness you've received will begin to build consciousness. And the first thing you do in building consciousness is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. It says, "As newborn babe, crave pure spiritual milk," praise God, "so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." Praise the Lord. So if we neglect the word of God to train that new life, because you need to train. You need to culture that life. You need to build consciousness. And the first consciousness he wants you to build is, first of all, your identity with God. And that's why he gave you the nature of righteousness as a nature. Praise God. Sometimes, it took me a while to believe this. Do you know sometimes your mind, your logic, if you want to reason the word the Bible says about you, your logic, you won't accept it. How can God say to me, I've done bad things in my life, terrible things, and he says, "I have paid the price for you, just accept me as your Lord and personal Savior, you are righteous," when I still have the memory of everything I've done? Do you know what I'm saying? That's a struggle to really come to grasp the fact that you are righteous, not based on what you have done, but based on what Christ have done. That's the first thing that we struggle with. How can I be righteous when I have not done anything that makes God? Praise God. That is why sometimes we have, because you know, I've tasted religion so much. I know. Religion is all about do. That's religion. Do. I like that song. Do. Yeah. So it's do. But God first said, before you do, first believe that. Be. Behold what manner of love. 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Say, I am a child of God. Jesus. I belong to God. I have the nature of God. You see, if you do this therapy every day, something will happen to you. I'm telling you. As you wake up, you're brushing, saying this to yourself. This is how to build the consciousness. You know, when I gave my life to Jesus, the first thing I John 3:16, for 3 months, I forgot to love the world that he gave his only begotten son. I'm going to school. I'm just reciting that scripture because I want to understand this love. Some of us want to love God, but we don't understand his love. It's understanding his love that will empower us to love him. Praise God. So first, we have to build consciousness that we are born of God. So those who are born of God, you have now, that's why it's called born again. Praise God. You have been born again. You are born of God. So you have to believe that. Because do you know why the dog bark? Because he believes he's a dog. That's why he's barking. Praise God. And you need to believe that you are righteous. Not because you are walking in church. Praise God. Not because you are singing in choir that you are righteous. Praise the Lord. You know I'm from the bush, so I don't know how to use things like this. You know, you need to believe that you are righteous because we have increased righteousness by doing. Do you know the grace of God is effectual in the life of a believer to live holy? But the fruit of holiness, we have no confidence in it. The day you start thinking because you are not lying, that's why you are righteous, you have failed. Never lose sight that it's a gift, even though there are fruit to show for it. And that's why I see a lot of believers are so proud. They're very religious because, you know, I smell religion because I've been there. Oh, I've been there. You need to hear my story, my salvation story. Not today, I don't want to share it. I've been to places, praise God. So you need to believe that you're righteous. Let me run along. It said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So Christ, you know, Jesus would say, I am my Father, we are one. And that used to annoy religious people. The Pharisee, that is blasphemy. How can you say you are in the flesh? You are God, you are one. Praise God. So that's the same issue we're having with scribes and Pharisees. Jesus wants you to believe that thing he believes. Praise God. Let that mind be in you. The second thing I want to talk about is the word of God. Praise God. Because all these four things, they flow together as a protocol. If you don't build consciousness around these four things, you will struggle. You will see result of this resurrection life. Praise God. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Some of us will be living our life based on the news, democratic system of government. Tell your neighbor there's a new government. Tell your neighbor there's a new government that resurrection brings. That government is the government of God. So God is saying to live as believers, you must live your life only. There's no, it's not, I want to live based on New York Times. I want to live based on CBC. Do you know what I'm saying? Because the word is shaping us too. Praise God. It says, God says, the way I define men is that they don't live by bread alone, but by every word from the God. No time to look into that deeply. Let the word of God, let the word, Colossians 3:15 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to God. Do you know now, spirituality is no longer, can I use the word in this church? Sexy. Can I use the word sexy? Okay, sorry. We are too holy. Yeah, it's too holy. I feel, praise God. So actually, spirituality is no longer sexy. The word is teaching us that we should not be spiritual. Like, We should be logical, scientific people. But the life you have received is a spiritual life. The Bible says God, you've been brought into a realm of God. The Bible says God is spirit. And any man that must worship him is what? Spirit and in truth. So your business every day as a child of God is growing your spiritual life. Your vocabulary should be faith. I taught it yesterday. Your vocabulary, the language we speak in that realm is faith. Praise God. This is what the woman of God last Sunday was sharing. Because if we don't know this, we can't truly be sought. Praise God. We cannot truly be sought. Let's be realistic. So, last scripture. For the word of God is living and powerful, and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. Do you know what that word piercing means? There are a lot of things God wants to unschool us from. Our tradition, our religion, our norms, the things we knew before we came to Christ. So the word of God is powerful. When we engage our life to the word of God, it begins to shape us, shape our mindsets, shape our culture, our traditions, the way we do things. And the other one is prayer. Then he spake a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Praise God. If you look at the life of Jesus, because how do you know to correct everything in the Old Testament? Look at the life of Jesus. So Jesus' life was characterized with prayer. That was why when he come out, when the disciples are confused, he's not. Praise God. Because he's living in that realm. He's always spending time in intimacy with God. Praying without ceasing. Do you know why prayer, why the word says praying without ceasing? Why that thing is in the Bible, that word? Because prayer is not what you do, it's who you are. Can you write it down? And think. You see, some of the things you're hearing from me today, they are creating more questions. Sometimes you come to church thinking, Pastor will answer your question. Pastor, do you have answers to all the questions of life? Do you have answers to all the questions? We don't. Praise God. Sometimes you come to church to get more questions. Do you know why? Do you know why? To draw you into personal intimacy. Because the veil has been torn. You don't need your pastor all the time. You need to begin to press into God for yourself. You need to begin to spend time with God. Discover things. Discover God. The Bible says, this is life internal, that we may know him, the only true God. So every believer is supposed to be growing, knowing God for themselves. So what the pastor does every day is to stir the river. Some questions, some will come with answers. But I tell you, more questions than answers. Praise God. So that's my job this morning, to stir up something in your spirit. When the Bible says pray without ceasing, it means that prayer, as you are breathing, you are praying. Praise God. So if prayer is just one something you do once, that means you need time and space to do it. If you say pray without ceasing, it means that your thought, what you are thinking right now, is prayer. That's why I say it will grant the desire of your heart. Because I see people, they pray, they don't get a result. We've taught about praying in the restless ministry. I said, can I hear what you are thinking after you pray? What you are thinking after you pray sometimes contradict what you have prayed for. And God is saying, what should I answer? But he now sees when you put in the way balance, what you are thinking in your heart has more, is louder than the 5 minutes you have prayed. Praise God. And that's why we're not seeing result. Praise God. So, love, my goodness. I don't have time to spend on this one. See, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. How many of you attend the Think group here? If you are young in heart, Pastor, can you imagine? Pastor attend Think group. Praise God. So I've been there. I mean, these guys are thinking through scripture, you know, engaging their mind with revelation. It's a very beautiful, you know. Sometimes I was there one day and there was a question that they posed. And I shared my piece of cake. I said, sometimes when you read the Bible, it's sometimes contradictory. God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes will not perish, have eternal life. And then I went to another part of scripture. It says, love not the world. God, you love the world. But he says, you don't love the world. You know, praise God. You know, sometimes when you read the Bible, you see all those things. Now, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, for you to be able to live out the God kind of love, because I say this God life, right? To live the God life. To live the God kind of love, God knows that we cannot. Tell your neighbor you cannot in your flesh. Tell your neighbor you cannot. But the first consciousness God had to give you that love so that you can live it is part of the package of the resurrected life. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. It says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Praise God. What did I say? How to live the what? God life is possible by the what? Holy Spirit. So the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. That's why God says, now, Jesus said, I was here. I was demonstrating that love. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about healing the sick, you know, going to places where there is darkness. Do you know, how many of you have gone for hiking before? Nobody has hiked like Jesus. He was moving from one village to another, one mountain. Sometimes you get to a river. There's a point he couldn't find a boat. He had to walk on water. You know why? Because he had to walk. Yeah, because, you know, that life, that love, he couldn't see people dying. He couldn't see people sick. He couldn't see people. That's the love. The Bible said Jesus, he will go to places. He will see them. He will have compassion on them. I imagine Jesus will be feeling. And then he will see the hungry. You know, he'll feed. You know, Jesus was practically showing love every day. Praise God. And that love was unconditional. Praise God. It's called the God kind of love. Agape. Unconditional. That's the same love God has shared in your heart. So this is what happened to me. This is how I train myself on spiritual things. So if somebody offend me, because you have people that will offend you. So, and I will go and take the scripture. I will stay and say, David, I know you feel like killing that person right now, but the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. I will start saying that to myself. And sometimes, because I have a language called tongues, I'll start praying in tongues with that scripture. All of a sudden, the weight of the heart will go. I will not be able to love that person. Praise God. Because sometimes we are trying to do it by our own effort. That's where we talked about prayer, right? So when you're in a difficult situation, go to God. I say, Holy Ghost, you've given me the ability. Help me. Like the fruit of the Spirit. Patient. Kindness. The one we don't like is long-suffering. Oh, it's part of the package. All these things I'm sharing with us, they are made possible if we build consciousness around the life we have received in Christ Jesus. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. This is where I'm going to end. Do you know why the world is the way it is? Because the world is looking at our life, we that have received the life, the quality of love, they are doubting it. We are not loving ourselves the way we should. Yesterday I was talking about, I was teaching on faith, I was sharing, I was like, do you know, let me ask you a question. This is the last question. You know, I've been asking so many questions. This is the last question, I promise. When you came to I've heard testimony of how people gave their life to Christ in their bedroom, how people gave their life to Christ when they were in the low time in their life. I've heard testimony. Am I a testimony to how I gave my life to Christ? Now, the day I gave my life to Christ, I didn't know much theology. I didn't know about sanctification. I didn't know about transubstantiation. I didn't know about justification. The Holy Spirit just walked on my heart. I felt that I was a sinner, I needed a savior, and I received eternal life.
Now, that life I have received. Now, some of us, we are now too religious. We school ourselves. Now we are now professors of theology. We school ourselves of that life. That we now have some Christians that say, I believe I am an Arminian. I believe in Calvin, or I believe in Calvinist. They are not theologian. So because of that, I cannot relate with my other brother that is an Arminian. Or I believe in Saint Augustine. Theology. Because of that, I can't relate with, do you understand? The Bible says, how good and how pleasant for brethren to gather together in unity. The Bible says, like the oil that flows from the head of Aaron. That's what we're experiencing in this room. Unity. And it's through the demonstration of the agape love within the body of Christ that we're able to teach the world the texture of the love of God. So I want us to stand on our feet. I'm done. I want to teach us a song. Praise God. Are you ready to learn a song from me? Come on, it's my last gift to you. I want to teach you a song. And this song, because you guys have been doing table, you know, discussion. Thank you. Go to the keyboard. It's a song. Please, you will sing with your mouth. Can you help me? Can you say, ooh? Yes, thanks for practicing. Ooh. You need to hold one person. Or if you can't find one person, it can be two or three. I want you to hold somebody. I want us to sing this song together. Hold somebody by the hand. Hold somebody. Touch your brother. Touch your sister. Give a hug. Just hug some. Like, you know, love is practical. You know what I'm saying? For God to love the world, he had to die. You know, it's practical. It's an action word. Praise God. So love is action. So, I didn't give them the lyrics. Praise God. Because I want you to say it after me. Because if you're looking at the lyrics, you pretend that you are singing, but you are not. Look into the eyes of your brother and sister. Say, I love you.
I need you.
We all are part of God's body.
Stand with me.
Agree with me.
We all are part of God's body.
It is His will
that every need be supplied.
I want you to squeeze the hand. Squeeze the hand of that person. You are important to me. Squeeze it again. Squeeze it again. Say, you are important to me.
I need you to survive.
I like this one. This second verse. Look. Don't look at me. Say after me. I pray for you.
You pray for me.
I need you
to survive.
I won't harm you. Say it now.
I won't harm you
with words from my mouth.
I love you.
I need you to survive.
It is His will
that every need be supplied. Squeeze it, squeeze it. Last time.
You are important to me.
I need you to survive.
I need you to survive.
Hallelujah. Give that person a hug.